This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship Show on the BetRivers Network. I am your host, George Ellick, and I am delighted as ever to be joined by my partner in crime, Jack Wright. Jack, how are we doing on this quite gloomy Monday in the UK?
It is a bit, isn't it? Yeah. It's obviously recording a little bit later in the afternoon than what we normally do. So, starting to get dark here, but we're going to brighten up everyone's lives with what we've got to talk about.
Yeah, what I like, you can tell if you know anyone looking at me will see it's quite dark and dingy, like my face is in shadow. You've seemingly like employed the sun just to sit in front of your camera. You've got a lovely, like, you know, big light shining into your eyes.
Can't tell you where I am recording, it's a top secret.
Lovely stuff. I mean, those eagle-eyed amongst you out there, big EFL fans, will be thinking, why are they recording this? There isn't a full slate of games. No, there isn't. But there are eight games. There are eight games in the championship on Tuesday night, and we thought we'd be kind enough to get together and pick out three bets each across the championship's games. There's one game in League One as well, but we're going to ignore that and just stick with the championship, three picks in each. And last weekend, we had a mixed time. I was exactly zero because I had a winning even money bet in Norwich to beat Rotherham, which they won 2-1. I had a really frustrating void bet where Harry Darling wasn't selected, so it was void because he didn't play, which is bizarre given he's been ever present this season. And I was, before I picked Darling, I was going to do Swansea to score two or more goals, which I did with Norwich, and then I changed, which would have been annoying because I'd have been a winner because they drew 2-2, and then my loser was laying Blackburn, and they won the game 1-0 in convincing fashion. And Chupa, go up for you, you got goal scorer pick up.
Yeah, he did the business, didn't he? So that was good. Nice goal. Didn't leave us hanging around too long early into the second half. He scored, so that was good. Frustrating with my Swansea and Millwall picks. Millwall battered. Who did they batter? They battered Hull, didn't they? But
10 men. Hull
weren't they? Oh yeah, down to 10 men for Hull. Were down to 10 men, like kind of towards the end of the first half, wasn't it? But hung on for the second half. So, yeah, bit of a disappointing. So, a minimal loss for me on that one. Surprising. But there we go. I got mildly excited for a bare couple of seconds because Ryan Manning scored. And we've talked about Swansea scores.
Yeah.
And for a brief second, I thought we were on Manning, and then remembered, obviously, that we weren't. And the fact that Harry Darling weren't playing was a double whammy. But there we go.
Hey ho. Well, let's see what that does to us. It's another losing week, or the minimal, I should say. But that means this is the league table amongst the different handicappers. We are still basically flat. I got to say, I made a mistake last week. I said that our future stakes were incorporated into our P&L. Nigel got in touch, so that isn't the case, which is a shame. But he did send a list of our future stakes, and it's good to see Burnley making that list three times, even though it wasn't a great weekend for them, losing 5-2 against Sheffield United. But there we are on minus 0.86, so pretty much flat, a little bit in the red, but hopefully bouncing back into the green this weekend. You can see the guys in Ligue 1 continue to do great work, as do Champions League. Ligue 1, as Jack likes me saying, Ligue 1. Doing well, as are the EPL in Syria, the La Liga, Europa League, Mexican League and Bundesliga below us, but still plenty of time to get into the plus money for sure. But let's get into our selections this week, Jack, and I'll give you a hand over the reins to you for your first Tuesday pick.
Yeah, well, the good news, isn't it? Like we said, we go again. Championship means that we
always go again.
So quick, albeit with a shriveled docket, don't forget.
That's yes.
Yes, I picked up from you. I learned from you. That was one of the things I've got for this season. Anyway, I'm going back with Middlesbrough. So the first one up for me this time round is Blackpool versus Middlesbrough. And I'm going for a Middlesbrough win. Since putting all the prices together, the actual odds on my Asian handicap slightly drifted out. So although it's going to say and will be recorded as a Borough win at plus 115, get on the minus half a goal handicap, same bet, at plus 128. So you get a little bit extra juice on that one. So notice that just before we started recording. And so, yeah, I am siding with Borough here. I've liked what I've seen from Michael Carrick. He's obviously had three games in charge now, so not a huge amount to focus on. But from what I have seen, it's been impressive, especially bearing in mind that he's won one, drawn one and lost one. So looking at the basics of it, you necessarily wouldn't think, you know, there's too much to get excited about. But, you know, I watched that whole game last midweek where I thought they were impressive, especially the fact that he'd obviously identified where their strengths were, played with lots of width, created lots of chances, deserved winners, 3-1 at Hull, which I thought was very good. And I'm not quite sure how they managed not to beat Bristol City at the weekend. That was, you know, obviously our bet was on Akpom to score, which he duly did, but around that, how they didn't then go and get the winning goal or even more goals is quite bizarre, really. It's just one of those games. 71% possession, 23 shots, 9 on target. So it weren't as if they were kind of wasteful, forced to keep into plenty of action. A few goal mouth scrambles in there as well. They hit the post and that was in the first half. So, you know, there was so much going on there, but so much to like. And I think, again, Carrick was pretty good about it. You know, he just said that, you know, we did everything that we could have got up. Aim to do in that game. It just wasn't our day. They restricted Bristol City, who we obviously know quite well from the fact they appear virtually every week on our show, do tend to create chances, do tend to score goals. They've got a lot going forward. They limited them to just 6 attempts and only 2 on target. So Nigel Pearson after the game said, I think, you know, we'll take that and we'll move on, which summed it up pretty well, to be fair. So I think they'll have a great opportunity here against a Blackpool side that have now lost a couple on the spin. Akpom's obviously going to go there, as tempting as it was to go with him again. He's now scored in each of Carrick's three games in charge. He's on form. And as we mentioned on the show last week, Borough have just been waiting for a striker with form, with confidence, and to finish the chances that they're creating. And although he only finished one at the weekend, it does seem that they've now got that and continue to create the chances. And between him and Fours and one or two others coming to the party, they should start scoring goals quite regularly. Especially with that time on the training pitch, is going to be coming up over the next few weeks. So, as I said, Blackpool lost 2 on the spin, lost again at the weekend. I watched them against the Baggies midweek last week, and they were really disappointing. From what I could see of the game against Luton at the weekend, they were better in that, created a few more chances. It did make me wonder that, you know, maybe they have got a little bit of inferiority complex. I'd be surprised because of how they performed against Burnley earlier in the season, but that was a really passive display against West Brom. And I think that Borough have got the opportunity, especially with how Carrick's want them to play, to actually dominate this game, dominate possession, dominate the chances, and potentially put the game to bed before Blackpool can get a proper foothold into it. So as far as Blackpool are concerned, only Hull and Bristol City have conceded more goals than them. And Hull and Bristol City was the two sides that Middlesbrough have just now played. So a decent comparison there. They've not kept a clean sheet at home since the opening weekend of the season. And they've lost 4 of the last 6 at Bloomfield Road. So it all points towards, you know, Michael Carrick wanting to go into this World Cup break on a decent run, unbeaten, get a couple of wins under the belt. And this is the easiest game of their 2 remaining before the World Cup break. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Middlesbrough win here. And so I recommend taking on the Asian now. But for our records, we're just going with a straight-up win at plus 115.
Great stuff, taking Borough there, to beat Blackpool. My first pick is a little parlay, a little two-leg parlay, a double. Well, I am going to back under 2.5 goals in 2 games, Birmingham against Swansea and Coventry against Wigan. The parlay comes to plus 206, so just a bit bigger than 2-1. I am not necessarily, as you know, somebody who likes to follow trends. I think trends often can be a bit noisy, and realistically, if there's no reason for that trend, often you basically want to short the trend because eventually it will turn. However, we're seeing a trend at the moment, especially in midweek championship games where there are just no goals. And I think there's probably fair reason for this when you look at the fixture congestion that these teams are having to go through at the moment, where you have a game every Saturday and every Tuesday. And unsurprisingly, it's the Tuesday games, the ones that come 3 days after the Saturday games, that seem to be paying the price for that. You know, taking a very small sample size, but taking last Tuesday as an example, we had 2-0 draws against Birmingham and Millwall, Birmingham obviously featuring in this bet, and Norwich against QPR. Only 3 games out of the 12 went over 2.5. That was Hull 1, Borough 3, Cardiff 1, Watford 2, and Burnley 3, Rotherham 2. So basically all three of those games in Middlesbrough, Watford and Burnley have three of the more proficient attacking teams in the league up against teams who are maybe a bit weaker, possibly with the exception of Cardiff, Watford, where Cardiff kind of probably had enough about them in the game to get something out of it. So it feels to me like finding a couple of games that are ripe for unders and perming them together is a pretty good way to play. You know, I think you want to have at least one of these this midweek. And I wouldn't really put you off maybe looking for more than two, looking for three or four and having a Yankee or something, because there does seem to be a lack of intensity and a lack of goals. I also actually missed out another 0-0 between Luton and Reading, which is there as well. So the reason I've chosen these two is probably the best two. Birmingham, the ones I'm going to start with, who, you know, they have, I think, the best defensive record in the whole of the Championship at the moment overall. They've conceded 16 goals. So we know that Preston had that incredible defensive record. Birmingham and Preston are now on the same amount of goals conceded this season. John Eustace has built his side to be very, very compact, very solid. And they, you know, their good form is off the back of a very, very good defensive record. They are never going to be a team who create a great deal, in my point of view. And it's kind of also borne out in the data side of things as well, where, you know, they are running a little bit hot, but their defensive record is pretty good and it's improved as the season's gone on. If you're looking at their home form as well, they've conceded only 6 goals at home this season, which is the joint fewest, alongside Coventry, who have also conceded 6. Now, their Coventry 6 have come, I should say, in only 7 games compared to the 9 of Birmingham. But that is because of issues they've got with their stadium. Those issues are certainly not resolved. And, you know, we're not entirely sure what's going to happen in terms of the coming weeks, but as far as we know at the moment, the game against Wigan is going to go ahead, and their home form reads pretty well. You know, they beat Blackburn 1-0 last midweek, and they kept Blackburn really at arm's length, didn't have too many chances. They beat Sheffield United at home 2-0 a couple of weeks ago as well. They've also had games going under 2.5 goals at home against Preston, Middlesbrough and Burnley that all finished 1-0 either way. So you've basically got two sides here in Coventry and Birmingham who I think are two of the most pragmatic, more compact sides, especially at home in the division. Hosting Swansea, who had a difficult time on the roads in their games, in their two back-to-back away games last week. They only scored 1 goal in those two games, and that was at Bristol City. They then drew 2-2 with Wigan, but it's the away form that I'm kind of really concentrating on here. And then Wigan themselves against Coventry, who... again, they scored from 2 set pieces in that 2-2 draw against Swansea. Before that, they'd lost 5 games in a row. They aren't the side that I think are going to be particularly proficient going forward, even though they've scored in every away game dating back to the end of August. I think that is the kind of trend that I'm very, very willing to get against, because they aren't good enough to continue that form. So, yeah, I'll probably look for maybe 1 or 2 other ones. I think there was a QPR game is another one that I kind of flagged up in my head as being one I might add to this. They are playing Huddersfield at home is another one I might add in. But for the purposes of the show, the parlay just over 2-1, under 2.5 goals in Birmingham Swansea, under 2.5 goals in Coventry Wigan is the way that I'm looking to play this. So that is a parlay first up for me. What is your second selection, Jack?
I must admit, I was just going to add to that the fact that I went through that all the games and I was like, wow, most of these look unders. You think, oh yeah, it's probably, they're quite clear. You can see the ones that are likely to have goals in it, but the others, you'd definitely side with the side of the unders. So plenty of juice in that, I think. Yeah, so defo. Absolutely. Well, I'm going. My next bet is on a side that you've actually touched on there and gone through a little bit about their home form. That's Coventry versus Wigan. I'm taking Coventry on the -0.5 goal handicap here, -104. And siding with a manager that I've got absolutely so much time for. He's done absolutely a phenomenal job at Coventry over the last, 2 or 3 seasons at least. The problems he's had thrown at him, and he just gets on with it and he produces great results on the pitch. But you know, like I say, his performances off the pitch, I don't think there's too many managers which would have took everything in his stride as he has done. And like even at the start of the season, I saw a few of his press conferences and never blamed anything that was going on, just took it in his stride. Games they lost, said if they deserve to lose, they deserve to lose, and so on. So Mark Robbins deserves a hell of a lot of credit for what he's doing at Coventry, and is still now getting good results from a great win at the weekend, going to Watford and winning 1-0 there. They love a 1-0, as you've already touched on. So we'll take another 1-0 in this one. And they've gone up to 15th in the league now as a result of that. And they've still got up to 3 games in hand on some of the teams in the league due to those problems with the pitch at the start of the season. And Preston in 6th have got, one of the sides, they have got 3 games in hand. So they are starting to now look up as to how hard they can go. And a win here should take them into the top half of the table and set them up really nicely then going into this this World Cup break. Hopefully they can get all their issues sorted out. Obviously, they've got problems with the stadium again. And Mike Ashley, this is supposed to be the prime candidate to taking that stadium on. Mm. But let's hope that things work out well for Coventry. I think they deserve it. They deserve a break, certainly. So, but back to the game. I'm taking them to get the win here. I said, I've looked at that that last 12 games that they've played, and they've got a phenomenal record in those 12. They've won 6 of the 12, and they've won all of them nil. They've only lost 2 of those 12 games, and they've kept 8 clean sheets across those particular games. And I think that's a phenomenal record what they've put together. A little bit fortunate with Ismail Assar missing a bit of a gilt-edged chance at the weekend, but they certainly had chances at the other end as well. So even if he had scored, then I think from what I saw of the highlights and what I saw of the reports and the manager's comments, that I think it was a fair win from them. They did well. They've obviously built a really, really solid base defensively. I think like Panzo, who they brought in this summer, is impressing me. He's looking very good, and he works well alongside McFadzean, who's that kind of no-nonsense warhorse and a defender that they've got in there. Gustavo Hamo is a midfielder that I've idolised really for the last 2 or 3 seasons. Mm. He's box office because you don't know whether he's going to get sent off, stick one in the top corner from 25 yards, or pull out a brilliant assist. And players like that are just a joy to watch. So, and he's continually to perform well for this Coventry side. Great to see Casey Palmer as well, who's been in and around other sides and ironically been looking for a home, I think, over the last sort of 2 or 3 seasons. And it seems he might well have found one here, playing with a smile on his face, got his fitness back, playing regular games and getting involved in the goals as well. The likes of Callum O'Hare, who was only on the bench at the weekend, so where they were kind of relying on him, they brought him off to impact the game. He might well get a start in this one as they look to freshen up a little bit. And Jamie Allen as well, who was assist for, I suppose you'd call him the main man, Gorkeres, who obviously is kind of the headline grabber because he's the goal scorer. And he was there to finish another chance off and get the 3 points with another 1-0 win. So I really like them in this one against this Wigan side, obviously did the dirty on me at the weekend and didn't lose to Swansea as they were supposed to, didn't read the script. But I'm going to take them on again. They are obviously against the side here. I think you're going to make it harder for them to play, harder for them to break down. They're not the most prolific side, Wigan, despite taking a 2-goal lead after 16 minutes at the weekend. I think they'll find it a lot tougher to break down Coventry. It was interesting to note Liam Richardson again, we mentioned last weekend, saying that, how they were doing okay, and he's kind of still accentuating the positive. His glass is definitely half full when it comes to talking about his side, but saying that it was a decent point, you tune it up prior to the game, I think no one would doubt it. Now, they lost 5 on the spin, so yeah, it would have been a decent point, but 2-0 up with 16 minutes on the clock, 1 up with only 6 minutes left to play, and ended up coming away with a point. I don't think you could describe that as decent, to be fair. So, I'm happy to take them on again. They've got a bad habit of throwing these points away. It's the 6th time they've taken the lead this season and then not gone on to win the game. So I'm not sure they'll get their noses in front in this one. I was very tempted to play Coventry a win to nil because that's what they do. Very, very nice odds. But I want to play it a little bit safer. Let's get us in the positive here, get us moving back up that league table and pressurising the top end. I fancy Coventry to win this one against this Wigan side that are still the worst form over the last 10 games in the league. They've lost 7 of the last 9, and so Coventry are in good form. And I take them to take the 3 points here, minus 104.
-104 there about Coventry getting with them against Wigan. So a couple of bets in that game. My next section is my goal scorer pick. I'm looking at Watford's who are hosting Reading, and I am siding with Ismaïla Sarr to score anytime at +195. Last time I selected Watford player to score anytime, like Darling, he was out injured. Keenan Davis is back, but I think Sarr makes all the appeal in terms of the prices as to who's going to score in this one. Watford's defeated on the weekend at home to Coventry, humbled at home to Coventry, will need to bounce back here for Slaven Bilic's sake. But Reading, you know, having just started saying I thought Reading might be better than I give them credit for, they put in one of the worst performances. Well, the worst performance they put in so far this season, I would say, including games where they were thrashed earlier in the campaign against Preston, where they didn't turn up at all. They lost the game 2-1. The goal they scored was an equaliser that came from a penalty, which is one of their very few forays forward. Preston were very deserving of their win. In the game, a few chances, but I think Watford should really see this as an opportunity to get back to winning ways and to put on a bit of a show at home as well, especially because Reading's away form is nowhere near as good as their home form too. And Sarr's the one that I think is the value at the prices to get on the score sheet at nearly 2-1. He missed an unbelievably good chance in that game against Coventry. He kind of scooped it over the bar from a yard or two out, but he's already scored 6 goals this season. We know that he's a big goal threat at this level. even when things weren't going right against Coventry in midweek, he was the one player of the four who stayed on the pitch with Davis, Pedro and Sema all being substituted. He is their main man and their best player. And when you're considering the kind of prices that that Davis and Pedro are to score, they're kind of +115 and stuff. I do think Sarr is quite clearly the value. So that's my second pick. Ismaïla Sarr to score any time at It was +195.
Nice.
Thanks.
I might as well go for a goal scorer pick as well then.
Go on then.
I am going for that one game where I do smell goals. Sheffield United versus Rotherham. Two sides who I watched at the weekend. And what a game at Bramall Lane. That was insane, wasn't it? Like, it sort of game of two halves, really. It was like Burnley was serene in the first half. We messaged each other at halftime and it was like, well, we're counting up our futures bets, thinking how many we're going to win here, how far Burnley going to be clear, at the end of the game. And then suddenly it was carnage second half. And whether it was a Paul Heckenbottom rollicking or an inspirational speech, he certainly got the wind in the sails of Sheffield United in that second half. Balls getting in the box from all kinds of directions. Every corner was a threat. Every long throw-in was a threat. And it seemed like every time they were in the final third, there was either a goal disallowed, or a near chance, or a great save. It was carnage. So a brilliant comeback. I think, we know, again, Sheffield United are a side that we do like to get on board with. And certainly no reason not to do that in this game. Obviously, they're prohibitive odds to back to win. And hence why I'm going down the goal scorer route. And ideally wanted to play or not play Ollie McBurney, but I've not been able to avoid it, I'm afraid. I've gone with him. Odds are +110. Initially, I wanted to go with Ndiaye, but it looks a bit like a knee-jerk reaction to go, oh, I'm going with Ollie McBurney. He scored 2 goals. He had 11 shots at the weekend. He had seven
on target, wasn't it? Unbelievable.
Incredible. Every time, here he was again, like shot on target, header on target, and ball was magnetised to him. And I didn't want it to be that kind of, oh, I'm going to side with him now. But what swung it was the fact that I then watched Rotherham in the afternoon, and he suits scoring against his Rotherham side to a T. And Dives obviously was bigger odds, which drew me to him originally, slightly bigger odds. And I thought, they both scored 9 goals this season, both joint top scorers in a very congested top goal scorer market now at the top end of the championship. And I just felt that, that was probably the way to go. But, he's that more technically gifted player. He's the guy that will pick up a little bit deeper. He'll ghost past 2 or 3 players. He'll have a shot from the edge of the box. He can score from inside as well. But McBurney's that scruffy, no-nonsense, aggressive centre-forward, as we saw at the weekend. But he's in good form. He's back to what looks like his best form from when he was at Swansea, 3 seasons ago, something like that. So the ball's magnetised to him. He's getting it attracted into the box. He's looking fit. He's looking hungry, and he's scoring his goals. He's got 9 in 16 appearances, but not all of them have been starts. So it's been a very impressive start to the season for him. And Rotherham were struggling with that kind of play at the weekend. You look at both the goals they conceded at the weekend. First one was a free header at the back post where the player developed down the right-hand side and the ball was crossed in and a free header, albeit from a midfielder running into the box, a free header from 6 yards. But again, McBurn is that kind of player that with his movement that we saw at the weekend, that he will just get that extra yard and be in that kind of position to finish those chances off from the 6 yard box. And the second one was a similar kind of effort where the more kind of technically gifted striker was at the heart of the move. And there it was finished off again inside the 6 yard box by that kind of poacher, albeit again a midfielder in Aaron Ramsey this time, just finishing off. So I just felt that his style of play is more suited to getting the goal here. And Rotherham, I think, will feel hard done by. I listened to Matt Taylor's press conference after the game, and he certainly felt hard done by, be it with refereeing decisions. But you've got to feel a bit for them. They had two injuries in the first half. Connor Washington went off with a hamstring strain late in the first half. His replacement then went off about less than 10 minutes later with another injury, which looks set to keep him out for a few weeks as well. And then in the second half, early part of the second half, within 10 minutes, they lost another player, Grant Hall, through effectively fatigue-related strain, and therefore then had to make their final substitutions because they only get a three-window option to do that. So, he was saying that Chiozzo couldn't last the 90, so he had to come off. The fact that Lindsay has just come back from injury as well, and he struggled to last 90 and didn't know how he did. So he's going to be up against it in this game. Richard Woods at 37 years of age, you can see him struggling towards the end of the game as well. And they were dropping like flies, to be fair. And this is a massive test to go to Bramall Lane if you're 100% fit, if you're fresh with a full strength squad. Matt Taylor has emphasised the fact that they are down to the bare bones. They haven't got the squad to cope with the fixture congestion at the moment. They've obviously got another away game at the weekend at Luton. And I just feel this could be, and he's obviously never going to say this, but this could be a game where they go, do you know what, we're going to have to take this one. We're going to get beat. It's, albeit a local derby, it's a tough one to do, but they've possibly got a better chance at the weekend to go and get a few extra players back, a bit of freshness back in the legs to go for that last game before the World Cup break. So I can see Sheffield United winning this and winning it very, very comfortably and very similar to yourself with Burnley a couple of shows ago where you went with the Jay Rodriguez bet because you're expecting goals here. I'm expecting goals from Sheffield United. And I very nearly put McBurnie and Endai together for both of them to score in this. As mentioned earlier, let's not get greedy. Let's get the profit on the board and let's move up and go into the World Cup break up in the top three in the league.
Fingers crossed. Let's do it. Yeah, McBurnie to get on the score sheet against Rotherham. A solid selection there, you'd hope, for Jack. My final pick is Luton Jorno Bet at Stoke at plus 145. I mean, the amount of narrative dripping off this game is absolutely ridiculous. It is the Nathan Jones derby. For those who don't know who Nathan Jones is, he is the Luton manager, but for how long? He is being strongly linked to Southampton, who've sacked Ralph Hasenhüttl. The club have announced that they have agreed to allow Jones to speak to Southampton after this game. So Jones will be in charge of this game. The club have pleaded with fans to give Jones and the team a big, you know, all their support and a big reaction. So I'm not anticipating that it should be an issue here. And crucially, when Nathan Jones first left Luton, was it back in 2018, he moved on to go to Stoke, and he left in December when they were flying high in the in League One. Everyone thought that him leaving was going to be the end of their season, and they still went up. So there is precedence for the foundations that Jones lays at Luton. When he moves on, things continuing to be okay. So fingers crossed he will be all right. Stoke are a team that I'm basically very keen to kind of get against at any possibility at the moment under Alex Neil. Things aren't going well. They were beaten 2-1 by Birmingham last weekend. I'm fairly confident that things don't look like they are about to get better. And I think he might have to change his style of play because he's trying to play a certain way and doesn't necessarily have the players to do so. So, they are a a team I'm willing to get against. I think Luton are continually underrated in the market. I still think they're one of the better teams in the division. They went through a very difficult stretch, but they've just come off the back of a big 1-0 away win at Blackpool, which will get them back into winning ways. And taking the draw out of it, I think plus 145, taking the draw out is a huge price. They're a very, very tough team to beat. And I find it difficult to imagine why you would be backing Stoke at near enough even money in this game. So they are my third and final pick. Luton draw no bet there. The last one. Anything to add before I get our picks up and I run through the other prices?
No, mate. I think that's it. The only thing I'd fancy Stoke for in that game's corners, obviously. They did flop at the weekend, but everyone's entitled to an off day. But yeah, I think Luton will give them a game. I fancy Luton to win that one as well, which means that Stoke will be chasing the game for large parts, I'd have thought. So second worst home record in the league behind Wigan, Stoke. Not going well for Alex Neil, as you say. So yeah, good. Very surprised myself with that the price on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's hope the price comes up trumps for us. Let's have a look then at our picks. Oh, where are we? Okay, maybe I can't show the picks this time. That is a bit of a blow. Let's see if I can do it another way. Otherwise, we are going to have to... there we go. Gosh, get there in the end. It's always the most stressful part of my week is having to do that. right, there you go. Jack, Barra to win. And Coventry minus a half on the Asian and their Ollie McBurnie to score the three picks. I've got a nice little parlay, little double under 2.5 goals in Birmingham, Swansea and Coventry, Wigan. Draw no bet, Luton against Stoke and then Ishmael Assar to score any time at plus 195. Let's get back in the profit, Jack. Go on.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get
there. Yeah, super confident on those. Yeah, like them all very, very much.
Good. Well, time then to go through the other games that we have on Bet Rivers to go through the prices now as well in the championship. There are it's a reduced slate, a reduced docket, I should say. So not as many games. Shriveled. It's a shriveled docket, shriveled slate. I've got Birmingham Swansea, we've got a bet in QPR Huddersfield. As I mentioned, this is one where I quite like unders as well. QPR minus 157, the draw plus 240, Huddersfield plus 380, under 2.5 there is minus 124 if you want to add that into the multis. We've also got Cardiff against Hull, Cardiff minus one. Oh, no, we've got that. Oh, no, we haven't. Cardiff against Hull minus 114, the draw plus 215. Hull win 280. And yeah, that is all of them. Now we've covered off all the other games. Only 8 games, as I say there. So that is all of them done there. Do make sure you check out the app Because We Win Twitter account and follow it, where you can find all the different sports handicappers on there sharing all their selections. And do subscribe to the Bet Rivers YouTube channel, where you can find all of the shows across the leagues we mentioned earlier and other sports too up on there. And do comment, leave us a review below if you like our picks or you want to give us some stick or you don't disagree or whatever else. Leave it in the comments you can find down there. And you can find all these shows as a podcast as well.
I was just going to quickly say, it was nice to see a couple of people actually did comment with picks that they'd probably picked up from us before and then asking opinions on it and stuff like that. It's nice to see people taking that on board and then remembering it and then going forward. We can't, you know, we only pick 3, don't we? So
exactly.
I'm going to read off 7, but it's always nice to see other people. So get them in the comments below and I'll always jump on and have some interaction with you around them, give my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Please do that. Keep the chat going between us and do comment on those down there. As is always the case, please do ensure that you're gambling responsibly. Check out Bet Rivers for all of your betting needs ahead of the weekend's games. Thank you, Jack, for sharing your thoughts and insights. And we'll be back ahead of the weekend's games in the EFL as well. And we'll have a look back at our picks then too. Enjoy the football and please ensure that you are always gambling responsibly. And we'll speak to you later in the week. Goodbye.